Maurice blew out his cheeks and began picking the flowers off a tall stalk. They vanished one after another like candles and the night is extinguished. "I've shared with Alec," he said after a deep thought. "Shared what?" "All that I have, which includes my body." Clive sprang up with a whimper of disgust. He wanted to smite the monster and flee, but he was civilized and wanted it feebly. After all, they were Cambridge men. Pillars of society, both. He must not show violence, and he did not. He remained quiet and helpful to the very end. But his thin, sour disapproval, his dogmatism, the stupidity of his heart revolted Maurice, who could only have respected hatred. "I put it offensively," he went on. "But I must make sure you understand. Alex slept with me in the russet room that night when you and Anne were away." "Maurice, my good God! Also in town, also..." Here he stopped. Even in his nausea, Clive turned to her generalisation. It was part of the mental vagueness induced by his married. "But surely the sole excuse for any relationship between men is that it remained purely platonic. I don't know. I've come to tell you what I did." Yes, that was the reason for his visit. It was the closing of a book that would never be read again. And better to close such a book than to leave it lying about to get dirtied. The volume of the past must be restored to its shelf. And here was the place, amid darkness and perishing flowers. He owed it to Alec also. He could suffer no mixing of the old in the new. All compromise was perilous because furtive. And having finished his confession, he must disappear from the world that had brought him up. "I must tell you too what he did," he went on, trying to keep down his joy. "He's sacrificed his career for my sake, without guarantee. I'll give up anything for him. And I shouldn't have earlier. I'm always slow at seeing. I don't know whether that's platonic of him or not, but it's what he did." "How sacrifice?" "I've just been to see him off. He wasn't there." "Shut and missed his boat!" cried the squire with indignation. "These people are impossible!" Then he stopped, faced by the future. Maurice, he said with some tenderness. "Maurice Corvodius, you're going mad. You've lost all sense of..." "May I ask whether you intend..." "No, you may not ask," interrupted the other. "You belong to the past, and I'll tell you everything up to this moment, but not a word beyond. Maurice, I care a little bit for you, you know. Or I wouldn't stand what you have told to me." Maurice opened his hand. Luminous petals appeared in it. "You care for me a little bit, I do think," he admitted. "But I can't hang all my life on a little bit. You don't... You hang yours on Anne. You don't worry whether your relation with her is platonic or not. You only know it's big enough to hang a life on. I can't hang mine onto the 5 minutes you spare me from her and her politics. You'll do anything for me except see me. That's been it for this whole year of hell. You'll make me free of this house and take endless bother to marry me off, because that puts me off your hands. You do care a little for me, I know." For Clive had protested, "But nothing to speak of, and you don't love me." "I was yours once till death, if you'd cared to keep me, but I'm someone else's now. I can't hang about whining forever. And he's mine in a way that shocks you. But why don't you stop being shocked and attend your own happiness?"